This particular semester, we're going to be teaching you from the book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy by Apostle Jonathan David. I want to begin this session by saying some things to you that our apostle have shared with us since the last time we met. And he said the word for this year is for us to move deeper into the Spirit. He gave us 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 13. So I would like for you to go ahead on and meditate that throughout the course of this semester, because in order for us to survive in this chaotic environment, we must go deeper into the realm of the Spirit in order for us to experience the power of God, the wisdom of God, in order for us to be as the sons and daughters of Issachar, of people who understood the times and knew what Israel must do. In order for that to happen, we must go deeper into the Spirit. So Father, today, this evening, we give you praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving as we're deep into the year of 2022. We thank you so much for all your kindness, your goodness, the things that you have accomplished for us. We're so thankful for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., for the apostolic call that's upon his life, and for Mom Carolyn Thompson and the entire royal family. We thank you for this training center where we are equipping ministers, not only with the word of God, but the purpose that you established this school was so that we can see the Spirit of God when it would come upon our apostle, so we can understand that we're not here for book knowledge. We're here to learn the things of the Spirit. So I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is always the true teacher. And I thank you for all of these students who have taken time to be attentive in class this evening. So we're going to begin with the preface of Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. Let us begin.
The prophetic flow.
The prophetic flow is tapping into the supernatural dimensions of the Spirit.
In order to do this,
we must be properly trained
by apostolic fathers.
It is learning how to hear accurately
the voice of the Holy Spirit.
It is learning how to properly respond
to the voice of God.
In the Old Testament,
Eli the prophet
had to properly train the young prophet Samuel
on how to tap into the prophetic flow.
An apostolic father
trained Samuel,
who was his spiritual son,
on how to hear God's voice
and how to respond to God's voice.
To the voice of God, or the voice of the Spirit.
To the voice of God, which is indeed the voice of the Spirit.
1 Samuel 3.
And the reference for that is 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, I want to elaborate on that just a little bit more. You know, God in his wisdom understood that Samuel, being a young prophet, was familiar with the voice of Eli, his spiritual father. This should teach us something, because oftentimes when we start dealing with spiritual things, we think that we can eliminate spiritual fathers and mothers or the gifts that God gave to the church to help train us. You know, because many of us know so many scripture, we know we take certain scriptures out of context. You know, for example, 1 John 2, 20 and 27, where one of them say, we don't need that any man teach us, you know. But at the end of the day, God and the gifts that he gave to the church, he gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So we sometimes get so spiritual that we think, well, the Holy Spirit can teach me. But what's important is to hear the voice of the apostolic fathers that God sent to us. If we can't hear, and honor their voices, then how can we talk about hearing God's voice on our own? So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, we have a picture of how God trains and develops us to tap into the prophetic flow. Here, God is speaking to the young prophet Eli, and when Samuel. And when God calls Samuel, he runs into Eli's room and say, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No," and he sent him back to his quarters. He came back the second time and said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, I know who this is. I didn't call you." He said, "The next time you hear that voice, then you tell God, say, 'Your servant heareth you.'" He was training him to hear the voice of God. Now, God came to Samuel using Eli's voice, a voice that he was familiar with, but yet it was God who was talking to him. So we can learn two things from that. Number one, if we're not willing to hear the voice of our apostolic fathers, how can we expect to develop in hearing the voice of God? So it's very important to receive the one who God sent. God, in Matthew's gospel, chapter number 10, Jesus said, "If you receive the one who I send, you receive me. And if you receive the one who I send, not only do you receive me, but you also receive my Father who sent me." So let us understand in developing in the prophetic flow that if we cannot hear the voice of apostolic fathers, we're going to tap out of the prophetic flow. Let's continue. Eli had to train Samuel
to discern the voices.
If you do not discern the voice of your apostolic father, you will not be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit.
God is sending apostolic fathers
to go into the crowds.
And to bring out the boy
who have those five loaves and those two fishes.
What
the young boy has in his hands, it will never multiply
as long as
he's in the crowd.
He will never reach his full
potential in God.
That young boy can spend the rest of his life
awed by the sense of meeting the needs of the multitudes
without knowing how to meet it. Some apostolic father must find this young boy
and teach him how to release
what he has
into the hands of the apostolic father
who can lead him
into an acceleration
and multiplication
of resources in grace.
The prophecy gift
sets the flow of the Holy Spirit's river
for all of the other gifts
to flow through.
The revelation and the power gifts
become more effective
when they flow through the prophecy gate
of inspired words of the Spirit. Now, this is a good time to talk to you about the nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. There are nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. And according to the word of God, these gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit withal. So we're not limited to one gift. All nine manifestations of the Spirit belong to us, the church. And each individual believer can at any time have access to any one of those nine manifestations of the Spirit. Often in the body of Christ, what is the best gift? The best gift is the gift that is needed at the time it is needed. Now, in saying that, we have the three speaking gifts. There, you know, we have speaking gifts, we have gifts of revelation, and we have the power gifts. Now, the speaking gifts are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, when it comes to moving in the prophetic flow, it is necessary for us to develop in the realm of the Spirit, number one, by being filled with the Spirit. You know, if you read the book of Acts, and if you read Luke chapter number 1, verses 26 through 45, you will begin to find out that when the Holy Spirit began to come up on men, they would begin to prophesy. So prophecy and prophesying is really an elementary level. And it is the speaking gift that causes all of the other gifts to flow. So we have to, in Acts chapter number 2, it say they all begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. But if you read further down in that chapter, it talks about your young men seeing visions, your old men dreaming dreams. And it talks about God's in the outpouring of his Spirit, how that we would begin to watch. Number one, prophesy. So the prophetic flow begins with the ability or to flow through the prophecy gift. And then, of course, we have the three power gifts, which are special faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. And then we have the revelational gifts, which is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. We will get more into that as we move farther into this class, moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. But right now, we must understand that it is the prophecy gift, the speaking gift, that releases us to flow fluently in all of the other manifestations. Now, I said six other because you have three speaking gifts. So those speaking gifts are prophecy. And when you have diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, now those gifts are equivalent to prophecy. Diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Okay, let's go forward.
The stronger the impact
of the other six gifts. The discerning of spirits is a must
for
all of those who want to minister in the realm of the Spirit
and in the supernatural.
I often hear Dr. Thompson and even Apostle Thompson, that's who we get this in from, you know, he imparts these things to us in order for us to build in the Spirit and to move accurately in the Spirit. We must flow in the discerning of spirits. It's the only way for us to accurately build in the Spirit and for us to accurately flow in the Spirit. Every believer must develop themselves in the realm of the Spirit to be able to discern in the realm of the Spirit.
All apostolic believers,
which includes prayer warriors, intercessors,
song leaders,
and ministers in the word.
They need to move in the discerning of the Spirit.
Accurately.
Without the gifts,
you cannot build accurately
into the Spirit.
The purpose of this class
is to teach you and to train you.
To move in prophecy
and with greater accuracy.
You can bring God's word to his people
in a way and in a manner
in which God wants you to bring it.
Moving in the gifts,
we're going to move on to chapter number one.
Spiritual ignorance.
Ignorance.
It's the state of being
ignorant.
Lack of knowledge.
It's also the lack of knowledge.
Lack of It's the lack of learning.
And lack of information.
And it is the lack of information.
There is a need for clear teaching.
There is a need in the body of Christ for clear teaching.
And detailed workable knowledge
on spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1.
God cannot bless spiritual ignorance.
God cannot and will not bless spiritual ignorance.
Spiritual ignorance is no bliss.
Spiritual ignorance is no bliss.
Spiritual ignorance can become a tool.
Spiritual ignorance can become a tool
of the enemy
to create frustration in our walk and in our lives as it pertains to spiritual things in God.
Confusion in our experience.
Confusion. It can also bring confusion in our experiences.
And to cripple our confidence.
And it can also cripple our confidence and our faith in our living God. The remedies for spiritual ignorance.
Revelation knowledge.
Number one, revelation knowledge.
The whole kingdom of God.
The whole kingdom of God
is built upon revelation knowledge.
Is built upon revelation knowledge.
That which is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit.
That which is revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. Now you remember in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. Beginning at the 13th verse, when Jesus asked his disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some say Elias, that's Elijah. Some say Isaiah, that's Isaiah. Somebody say you're Jeremiah. Somebody say you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Somebody say you're some other prophet. Jesus said, "That's fine. But who do you, the ones that I'm training and leading, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Because what's important is not what other people thought about him, but what did the ones who he was training think about him? And Peter, who always was mouthing off, said, "I got it, Lord, I got it this time." He said, "I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response to that says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," what rock? The rock of revelation, "that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now pay attention. Jesus said, upon the rock of revelation, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God, that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. What is the it? Not the church. If we look at what's going on in the world, the church seems to have no power and no answer for what's going on in the world. Why is that? Because of a lack of functioning in revelation knowledge. Satan cannot combat that which God reveals unto us by his Spirit and through his Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, you read it, but verses 9 through 13 in particular say, "But eye had not seen, ear had not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." The next verse say, "But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Well, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit searching the deep things of God? To bring us into a deeper intimacy and a deeper relationship with the Father and the Son through the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go.
God reveals to us by his Spirit.
God reveals unto us by his Spirit.
And the keys of the kingdom.
And the keys of the kingdom. And the keys of the kingdom, the way you unlock doors and the way you lock doors is through revelation knowledge, which are the keys of the kingdom of God. Jesus said it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto us the keys to the kingdom.
Apostolic teaching.
Apostolic teaching.
The end time church.
The end time church.
Will embrace an apostolic mantle
of teaching.
Teaching This mantle will help update our experiences.
This mantle will help to update our experiences.
And bring the church into conformity.
And bring the church into conformity.
To New Testament patterns and standards.
To the New Testament patterns and standards as established in the Word of God.
Acts
chapter number 2, verse number 42.
Acts
13, 1 and 2. You know, Acts 2, 42 saying they continued steadfastly in apostolic doctrine and in the fellowship with the apostles. See, the first 12 men, well, there was a multitude that was following Jesus. They were called learners and they were called disciples. The Bible says that Jesus went up into a mountain all night in prayer to God. And I believe it is there that Jesus received those 12 names of those who he would choose from all of those learners who would become apostles to do ministry with him. And the Bible says he ordained those 12 men, and here it is. Those 12 men he ordained became apostles. Now notice in Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Well, in building his church, the first gift that he gave to the church was apostles. That's Ephesians 4:11. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Jesus gave in Ephesians 4:8-16. You read it. And in 1 Corinthians 12:28, the Bible says, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers. Now, in Ephesians 4, the five ministry gifts that Jesus gave to the church was the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He gave those gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and till we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. You read that in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, you find that God set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, gifts of healing, working of miracles, helps and governments, and diversity of tongue. Same list you find in Ephesians 4. It's broken down further in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, not a different list. You just find that helps and government carry the pastoral. Gifts of healing and working of miracles has to deal with the ministry of the evangelist. You study it out, okay? But the first gift that Jesus gave and set and God set in the church was the apostle. So that means that the apostle is first in time, first in order, first in rank. And here's the deal. When the church gets a hold of apostolic teaching, they will come to recognize that Satan cannot prevail against the advancement of the church. It is time for the church to be on the offensive and not on the defensive. We're not called here to stop Satan. Satan can't stop us. The Bible says in Matthew 11 that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So we are the ones that who are supposed to be occupying until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's something you need to know. The church, like the Jews of old, looking for the Messiah to come, the church is more concentrated on the second coming of Christ then they should be focused on the fact that he's already here. He's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we won't know that until we go deeper into the Spirit. We'll look at that further later when we go into St. John chapter number 14, where Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send to you another comforter. Another comforter. What is another comforter? Another of the same sort and the same kind that I am. And he said, I will send you another comforter that he may live and abide with you forever. And he's called in that even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither do it knoweth him. But you know him. But you know him. Now watch what Jesus said. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come again unto you. I submit unto you through apostolic teaching and training that the Lord Jesus Christ came as he's the incarnate word. He's God in the flesh. He was called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. But now he's Holy Spirit, God in us. So when Jesus said another comforter the Father was going to send unto us, another of the same sort, another of the same kind, and then he came back and said, I will come unto you. I submit unto you that Jesus is here with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, that the Father is here with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus contained the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, you read that in the book of Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter number 2. So is the church. We have the fullness of the Godhead because we are the body of Christ and we are indwelt by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's move. Other hindrances to the operations of moving in the gifts.
Fear and snares.
Fear and snares.
Fear of men.
Fear of men.
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure.
Fear of mistakes.
Fear of mistakes.
Fear of satanic influence.
Fear of satanic influence.
Fear of poverty.
Fear of poverty.
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure.
Proverbs 29:25.
That's Proverbs 29:25.
Intimidation.
An act of continual harassment.
Until the person's wall of resistance
is broken.
And he starts to belittle. And to despise.
What he is and what he has. That's Nehemiah chapter 4. I don't have time to go into all of that, but in Nehemiah chapter number 4, they were in captivity and they began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the enemy was constantly coming against them, harassing them, and attacking them to say the job cannot get done. But the prophet Nehemiah said, we can do it because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Same thing. Go ahead, daughter.
Types of ignorance.
Not knowing what to do.
With what we have. Not knowing how to get. What we do not have.
That's Matthew chapter number 25,
14-30.
Verses 14 through 30.
And Luke
chapter number 19,
11
through 17. Those are references.
Gifts.
Gifts. Love. Are both. Gifts. Love. Are both gifts and love.
First Corinthians teaches. Gifts are not an option.
Even though we have love.
Gifts are to flow through the atmosphere. And motivation of love. It is not gifts of the Spirit versus love. Or it's not love versus the gifts of the Spirit.
Psalm 62:11.
Love is the motivation. But power is that which brings forth the accomplishment
of what God desires to do for us in his love.
For us.
Benefits of the motivation of love.
Gifts that flow through love. Makes us functioning members. Within the church,
which is the body of Christ.
Bridegroom's voice of love.
Revelations 19 and 10.
The spirit of prophecy. Releases the testimony of Jesus Christ. Directly unto us.
Jesus testifies to what God
and he
are
saying in the heavens.
are saying in the heavens
about us.
Well, I want you to go ahead on and read chapter number 2 for our next session. I look forward to us going deeper into the things of God this year in 2022. Remember, the greatest motive for operating in anything is love. See you next time. Okay. How long did we go, daughter?
7:55 to 8:25.
Okay. So how many minutes we have left?
We have 8 minutes left.
Oh, that's good. Ain't no big deal. Good enough. How about